Hello and welcome to the Oldie podcast with me, Harry Mount, editor of the Oldie. And in this month's issue, we've got a fantastic double header from a mother and daughter, Drusilla Bafus, a broadcaster and journalist who worked on the Daily Express in the 1940s, and her daughter, Nicola Shulman, who is an author and journalist. And they've picked their most stylish decades for British women's dress. Drusilla has chosen the 40s and Nicola the 70s. And we'll start with Drusilla. Why the 1940s?
Well, when I came to think about it, I realised that the accolade best dress meant more than just aesthetics. It was a great deal to do with the way people actually looked and their state of health. And I think most sort of social historians have agreed that in the 40s, most people looked better, were slimmer, better fed, and altogether in better shape. And I think that has a huge effect on the way people look in clothes. But in addition to that, what I particularly liked about the 40s was the huge effort that the British made not to be defeated by the appalling sort of shortages and difficulties that they quoted. People think that the British aren't sort of as keen on fashion as the French, but the lengths that we went to, and I remember kind of late in the 40s when I got to a stage of fancying myself in a long dress and had no coupons left because most of it went on my school uniform. But however, it was possible to buy curtain material which wasn't on coupons, and so I got a friend to run me up a long dress in kind of pink curtain chintz.
And you make the point also that uniform was very good for women too.
Well, that's another point. There is something about women and service uniform that it's just a classic click. They just look fantastic. And I'm not just thinking of fashion photographs and films. I think there's something about the kind of commitment that women bring to it. They look as if they believe in the uniform. And, I mean, the actual uniform itself is not particularly kind to women because of a boxy jacket and padded shoulders and very, very hard to wear. But, I mean, people just look great in it if you look back.
And do you think there's an element that actually the moment us poor humans are given a choice, we choose badly?
No, I wouldn't say that.
You're forced to wear something, yeah.
I wouldn't say that because I think the way fashion has unfolded suggests that people do choose quite well. But it was the discovery of choice towards the end of the 40s that was another reason why I wanted to choose the 40s. In my mind, it fell into two sections, really, sort of austerity chic, and then the fact that people got, you know, fed up with doing the right thing, and they just rushed to embrace the new look with yards and yards and yards of taffeta in a skirt.
Which comes in the late 1940s,
yes.
Is it that? Yeah. And, Nikki, of all the decades to choose, most people would say the 70s was the decade that time, that fashion forgot, but you argue brilliantly the other way. Why were the 70s so good for British women's fashion?
I think that the 70s was the decade that taste remembered, not that taste forgot. And actually, when I think of that clothes from the 1970s, I really do struggle to think of anything apart from the Bay City Rollers, perhaps. And Lady Di, that really wasn't very appealing. I mean, when I think of the 1970s, I think of women with platform shoes, which always look great. I think of midi skirts, incredibly becoming, rather kind of narrow, flowing lines. I think of bell-bottom, you know, massively wide trousers, also very becoming, very narrow shoulders.
Flares, which were held up as a fashion
well,
nightmare.
Well, not so much flares, right. Actually. It's more right. Those very wide, because flares was a thing which I think of as being tight to the knee and then going out. Whereas I think in the 70s, what you got were those very wide trousers, very high-waisted, very wide trousers that came. They used to be called, when men wore them, they were called baggies. Because men, of course, also were fantastically dress-uppy in the 70s. It was the last time that men were really dress-uppy, maybe apart from the kind of new romantic period. So men were terrifically dressed up as well, wore these very platform shoes and trousers dragging on the ground, and actually not necessarily a good look, but often good. What I think as well about the English in the 70s was that it was a time when we, in the 60s, we sort of got a new identity, our own identity as being cool and young and so on, and, you know, the King's Road and the, you know, that kind of pop culture of the sort of fabulous 60s, but actually only applied to about 200 people and an area of about 2 square miles.
Right.
Whereas in the 70s, it became much more demotic, and suddenly it was possible. I think maybe there were more shops, and there were, it was possible for many more people to have kind of cool clothes. And I think, so I think that that was rather wonderful. And I think that there was also this fantastic amount of choice, you know. Whereas in the 70s, in the 60s, there was really only like one look. Women wore miniskirts, no matter what their legs were like, for 10 years, pretty much, right into the early 70s, in fact. I remember you, Mummy, saying, can you believe it, that the best, the best-selling skirt in Marks and Spencer's is still the miniskirt. And this is when fashion had kind of already was dictating long skirts. But people, women like miniskirts, it turns out. Anyway, so there was this great proliferation of possibilities, different ways of looking, which I think was very interesting because the first time women had an opportunity to really exercise their own taste, there was lots of different kinds of looks. There was disco, there was punk, there was there were long floaty sort of Laura Ashley dresses. There was
a brilliant list: stripy dungarees, Peruvian jumpers.
Peruvian jumpers.
Tight satin glam rock jackets, trousers as silver as wet trout. Sounds amazing. Yeah,
yeah, you could dress as anything from a kid. In fact, lots of there was a whole toddler chic as well was a thing in the 70s. People, I remember people wearing kind of Oshkosh Bagosh dungarees and little Peruvian jumpers and kickers. People dressed like 3-year-olds, and then people dressed like vamps, and they had sort of and they had turbans, and you know, and sort of you know, enormous amounts of black eye makeup and long slinky dresses. And
women dressed as men, men dressed as women.
Dressed as men, dressed as women.
Right.
Yeah. Which is fantastic. So I think there were also, so there are two things. First of all, I think that there was this great proliferation of looks. Secondly, I think that you were talking about British women, and I think it was a very British thing that there were, that for the first time, there were really great fashion designers in England. I mean, lots of them. And they were very different. It wasn't just us copying the French like it had been in the 50s. There were really great English fashion designers. There were people like Anthony Price, there was Ossie Clark, there was Thea Porter, there was Bieber. Nothing could be cooler than Bieber. So I think that was something that was sort of fantastic. And then my other thing is that it was fancy dress. And it, as my mother knows, the English love fancy dress.
Yeah.
And it was so dismal, the decade. I think that people just wanted to do something to cheer themselves up. So, you know, people were sort of people dressed up in preposterous clothing, and yet they sort of look marvellous.
You also make this very interesting point that rather than fashion being like trains moving in and out of stations, the fashions hang around, so a new one turns up, and yet the old one survives.
Probably because in the 70s, fashion was more like what they say about the weather in Canada: if you don't like the weather, wait 10 minutes. You know,
right.
if you don't like disco, wait 10 minutes. There'll be punk. There'll be something for you. There'll be cheesecloth smocks or sort of woolen capes or something. I mean, the thing is, what you've got to remember is I was 9 at the beginning of the '70s, so all of this was sort of slightly happening out of my ken. Certainly the first bit.
The end of it, there's a fantastic picture of you in 1977, you've completely thrown yourself.
Well, I think I was channeling Annie Hall there, actually.
Right.
Yeah, with another great 70s, you know, great 70s icon of fashion. I hate that word, icon. A great 70s fashion star that everybody copied.
And Drusilla, what did you think about your daughter's choice? Do you think absolutely horrifying that she should choose the 70s?
I think that the thinking in the 70s was really interesting, and the history is really interesting, and there are lots of points that Nikki made that I agree with, but I think the outcome was rather dour. I mean, I have a recollection of ponchos, his and her ponchos, as for those Peruvian sweaters, and all those tie-dyed T-shirts. I mean, that does rather kind of query the picture of the kind of wonderful creative freedom that existed for people to kind of invent themselves. I mean, I think at the end of the 70s, of course, you had Vivienne Westwood, and that was a terrifically exciting development.
And what did you think about the way your, without getting too personal, the way your daughters dressed in the 70s? Were you horrified?
Well, she was a lot in my clothes, so I was only hoping that they were going to be returned in a state in which I could continue to wear them.
And what about you, Nikki, you refer in your article, you appallingly call your mother a bit of a cheat for choosing the 40s because...
Yeah, because everyone looks great in uniform. I mean, that's just, it's just definitely cheating, I'm sorry. I mean, I went to a fancy dress party the other day, somebody's 30th birthday party, and a couple of people came in the British RAF uniform, WAF and RAF. I mean, they just looked unbelievable. Everybody was all over them. They just looked fantastic. So I think it is a bit cheating that because everybody looks so hot in uniform. And also, I kind of feel that, you know, there wasn't very much opportunity for choice. And I think one of the reasons women did look good in the 40s, I do think they look good, but it's sort of partly because there wasn't much around. And so they were saved from the worst kind of excesses that an English woman can, you know, get herself into, in the way of sort of what things that I very much associate with the 80s, for example, kind of great voluminous kind of taffeta things and sort of dresses that when you moved, they stayed in the same place and the sort of bodice stayed the same way and sort of enormous puffy sleeves and things like that, because you also couldn't have an enormous puffy sleeve and a massive bow and things if there wasn't any cloth to make it with. So I think that was very good.
And you make a very good point.
For young
both
people,
either intentionally or accidentally chosen the decades when you were both in your teens and 20s, do you think that's kind of inevitable?
Yeah, it's kind of impossible. It's hard for me to think that anybody who was a teenager in the 80s
would
be looking at that and going, gosh, I wish I'd dressed like Lady Di.
Boy George,
exactly. You know, I really wish I had a, you know, quite a cross collar or, you know, sort of one of those kind of asymmetric short trouser things that Boy George used to wear.
Do you think that's true, Drusilla, the reason why you might have chosen it is because when you were
I think young. Your memory is terrifically sharp when you're young. It's a time when you have to write a diary and record your emotions. I didn't so much love the clothes. I was just really admiring of the way people dressed in the face of such incredible hardship. But also, and when you're young, you remember everything so clearly because you're very conscious of mistakes you make in clothes and the time when you didn't have the dress when you wanted it. All the kind of fashion boo-boos that you make when you're young, you tend not to forget. And I think your whole kind of fashion diary is recorded in your memory. So I think it's quite natural to look back to those years.
And last question, do you think people would look back at the 2010s, Nikki, and say this was a fantastic period for women's dress?
It's inconceivable. Particularly this year, actually, which seems to be just everything with holes in it and lopsided and asymmetrical and sort of, you know, Victorian bustles and halter necks and every possible thing with the kitchen sink thrown at it. I think it's one of those moments when, I don't know, it seems to me just looking at clothes in magazines that there's a terrible loss of way has occurred, but it might be only temporary.
What do you think, Drusilla? Do you think we'll look back this period and say, good or bad dress?
I don't really agree with Nikki here at all. I think she's not a really good designer around. I think she's just looking in the wrong place, really.
Nonsense.
Right, you're just trying to annoy me.
That's a very good point to stop. Thank you so much to Drusilla Bayfus and Nicola Shulman for their brilliant pair of articles in the February issue of The Aldi and for this podcast. Thank you so much.
I hope you notice how Nicky and I have both got the same.
We're basically wearing the same
name. You hadn't coordinated.
Yeah. No.
No, not at all. No, just by chance.
We're basically wearing the same clothes, exactly.